This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharudin, and you're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Sewing has gone through quite an interesting journey as an activity in our society. It was once a necessity in any household, but these days sewing is seen more as a hobby taken up by those who have interest in it. Makers Habitat is a creative space that tries to cater to people who belong in the latter. They provide different types of sewing classes and workshops at various entry points for people of all ages. But despite a more contemporary approach to sewing, they did not neglect sewing's old narrative and the role it played for the society of yesteryears. This is especially true for one of its co-owners, Ching. She recalls her experience learning how to sew when she was a child and how that inspired Makers Habitat's approach to sewing as a hobby.
Hi, I'm Ching. I'm one of the co-owners of Makers Habitat in KL. We are a creative studio, and right now we are focusing on teaching sewing to adults and children. So for me, I started sewing about 20 plus years ago. I think my partner Eileen and I, we sort of found sewing in different points of our lives for different reasons. And somehow we were brought together again after, because we're childhood friends from Seremban. And we decided to, you know, go ahead and start our own thing. Nah. So for me, I think the first time I found sewing was in school. I studied Kemahiran Hidup. A teacher taught us how to use a sewing machine. I was very, very fascinated by it. And I think I went home very excited and told my mom, "Can I play with your sewing machine?" And my mom used to make a lot of clothes for us. A lot of my, even my bulan sabit uniform was made by her. And she said, "Okay, you can. Here's a box of scraps. Do whatever you want." I got her machine jammed. And then after that, I kind of discovered that it was actually quite fun to sew with a machine. And I think it was exciting because I found out that if I wanted something, I could sort of make it. It may not be as nice as what I envisioned it to be. So for example, I saw my best friend. She had a really nice little messenger bag. I asked her if I could just borrow it for the weekend because I said, "I want to make something like it. Is that okay?" She said, "Yeah, go ahead, take it." So then I tried to make it, and then I realized that, hey, it's not as hard as I thought it would be. So that's how I started sewing. Bag making was my first love, I would say. And then later on, you know, as I grew up, my mom kind of told me, "Well, maybe one day you can start sewing your own clothes." And I kind of looked at her with a crazy face. I was like, "No, I don't think so." Because to me, clothes seemed very hard because I've seen her sewing clothes. And then, you know, as you grow up, your body kind of changes. And then I had a lot of difficulty finding clothes that could fit. That was probably why I hated wearing dresses. I hated going shopping because anything that fit on the waist would never fit on the hips and vice versa. So then one day I kind of had a skirt that was a bit too big and I thought maybe I'd just like sew in the sides, make it a bit smaller. And as I was like turning the skirt inside out, I kind of realized it doesn't look too difficult. Maybe I can try making something like this. And that's how I went into dressmaking.
Quite interesting. People these days have it easy, right? They have YouTube and they have a lot of like guides online for them to learn how to sew, for example, bags or dresses themselves, right? Yeah. But for you back then, I don't think it's as simple. Yeah. And apart from your mom, how else or where else did you get your lessons or how else did you learn how to sew these things yourself? Did you actually have a look at the materials and decided to just reverse engineer it?
Yes, I tried reverse engineering quite a couple of things. Some of them worked out, some of them didn't. I think besides my mom, it was her collection of sewing books. So back then, what was popular were Japanese sewing books. They would have instructions in Japanese, but because, you know, as you know, the Japanese, they do things very well. So the illustrations were very easy to understand. So we kind of understood things from there, even though we didn't really get the, you know, what each word meant. So, but you're right, learning back then kind of took longer than what people would take, you know, to learn nowadays, actually.
I unlike the more privileged lifestyle that we lead these days, life was a bit more challenging for most people back then. Therefore, knowing how to sew helped cut the unnecessary costs that might have otherwise been spent on clothes and bags.
We come from a family that we don't have a lot of money to spend on like luxuries and clothes, branded things and all that. So a lot of things my mom had to make for us. She grew up making her own clothes, and when she had, you know, my brother and I, she made clothes for us as well. It was a necessity. Every house had a sewing machine in it, and they make clothes for their children, their grandchildren.
That's very interesting, because back then sewing was a necessity, right? Something that you have to learn to sort of like survive, or at least, like you said, if you can't afford to buy clothes, you have to sort of like make it yourself, or at least it's cheaper to make it yourself, right? Yeah. Compared to what we're going to talk about these days, sewing has sort of like become a hobby, right?
Yeah.
It is quite an interesting shift from it being a sort of like a skill that is necessary for you to sort of like survive to something that is now seen as like something that you do when you have free time and you want to like, you know, find something interesting to do, right?
Correct. Because I think, you know, it was a necessity for many of, you know, our grandmothers and mothers last time. After that, fast fashion came in, you know, then we had access to like more clothes that are just so cheap. You buy, you throw, it didn't matter. And I think why we see the shift now, you know, where sewing is more like what you say, it's more of a hobby right now, because I think, like what our students tell us, they come into class, they tell us that they do question why the clothes that they buy outside are so cheap. Why is it so cheap? How can they sell it for so cheap and still be able to run the whole business? I think they feel more conscious about, you know, what they're actually consuming as consumers.
What are the reasons why people are beginning to be more interested in sewing as a form of hobby these days?
I think in Malaysia, even though, you know, the sewing hobby market isn't as mature as what we see in the US or the UK, we are slowly getting there. We are slowly getting there because we hear many students coming and saying, after they learn sewing, they say, I'm so addicted to sewing. I can't stop sewing. I just want to sew more and more and more. And I think the main reason is because they find out that through sewing, it actually gives them a lot of benefits. The simplest thing is that it helps them to take their mind off the daily worries. Because the thing is, when you're using a sewing machine, you can't be looking elsewhere. You can't be talking much. You have to make sure that you're looking in front so that the needle doesn't punch into your finger. So in a way, it's sort of like taking your mind. You're forced to concentrate. It's almost like being mindful about what you're doing, about that specific moment, you know. Second of all, I think they also realize that it's not as difficult as they initially thought it was. A lot of times they ask us about how long does it take to make a blouse? And then we tell them, you only need about 7.5 hours. And they're like, what? Are you serious? Will I be able to finish in that time? I say, yes. No one has ever not been able to finish a project. And then they finish it, and then they put it on, and then they realize, wow, it's actually, you're right. You know, it's not as hard as I thought it was. So it's like what you say, it's a useful life skill. So I think people feel very empowered by that skill. And we also have students who eventually started their own business where they start sewing the things to sell. And you get that sense of satisfaction, like, yeah, I can do something for myself. I can make money out of it.
Yeah. So sewing is one of those activities that can benefit you maybe spiritually and emotionally, and can provide you with that kind of satisfaction. Yeah. But at the same time, it can also benefit you in other sense, right? So for example, if you want to, like you said, make it into a business or even like, can help fix your own clothes and whatnot without actually relying on others, right?
Yeah.
So is that how you personally feel about sewing?
Yeah. Personally, for me, the best part is always when I have a wedding dinner to go to, I don't have anything to wear, you know, every woman's problem. And then I think to myself, yeah, I'll just sew a dress. For a lot of people, when they start to discover that, we're very happy when we hear our students saying, you know, I needed a dress to wear this weekend. And because of your class, I managed to sew one dress, so they're very happy. So,
what Ching said there was quite interesting, actually. It got me thinking of the whole mindset a person carries if he or she made her own clothes. Do they do it to stand out in the crowd, or do they do it because they couldn't find anything that fits in retail stores?
I think we do have students who want to stand out in the crowd. But I would say a lot of people tend to choose fabrics that are more subtle, more basic. They are not looking to make a statement garment, but they are looking to make something that they can wear over and over again. So probably not standing out in the crowd, but I think based on what they tell us, they are very happy when they wear something that they made and then they tell their friends or their family that I made this, and everyone's like, what? Are you serious? You made that? Which part of it did you do, you know? So I think it's more of a sense of pride, actually, because I think over the years, we've just lost the excitement of making things with our own hands. And now we, like what you say, you know, the DIY culture is growing and growing in Malaysia. And when you say, like, I made this tool, for example, then you're like, wow, I made this dress, wow, you know? So I think people are starting to discover that it's very, very possible to do a lot of things that, unfortunately, over the years with, like, you know, devices and all that, the most we're using our hands for is texting. But now it's changing. And I think that is the main thing that drives most people to sew and to continue sewing, is because they find out, I can do it, you know.
Mm. Okay, I have to make a confession. I don't know how to sew. So for me, I'm easily impressed by the fact that when you said that you can produce a blouse in 7.5 hours, I am like totally blown away by that. How steep is the learning curve actually?
Okay, that's a good question. So what we do is we teach people based on their skill level. So for example, if you are totally new to sewing, what I recommend for you is the Machine Sewing 101 class, which is about an hour long. You learn how to set up the sewing machine, which is way easier than most people think. And then you learn how to operate the machine as well. And after that, you move on to beginner's level. So you can learn how to make like a zip bag or a tote bag, for example. And once you're comfortable with the machine, you know, operating it independently, using it on a medium speed and not a slow speed, then you can move on to garments. So every class is a project. So I would say to get to garment making, you probably need, say, 4 hours before you start. How steep is the learning curve? I would say it is not that hard, because honestly, we have taught children how to sew their own clothes. And if they can do it, I think a lot of adults can do it as well.
Yeah, but having said that, you must at least pay your dues by learning the basics first before you can start being ambitious and wanting to, you know, sew your own garment, right?
Correct. And that's why it's important to go based on your skill level. We have had students who have no experience and say, can I just jump into dressmaking straight away? Unfortunately, we have to say no, because you have to build a good foundation first. And because we focus on teaching using modern techniques, it is really, really simple. And we have even retirees who come and learn. Our children, the youngest student, normally we start at 6, but our youngest is 4. She's managed to learn as well. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it is not that hard, actually.
Okay, quite interesting. So you said just now that you focus on modern techniques, right?
Yep.
But I think having learned how to sew 20 years ago, I'm sure you have learned the old way of sewing as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what's the difference between sewing nowadays compared to before?
Okay, first of all, the tools that we can find nowadays are way more helpful than what we have back then. We have a wide variety of tools. There are some really great, you know, sewing brands out there who have come up with innovative tools, tools that make your job much easier. For example, something that would take you maybe 1 hour to do last time, you can probably do it in 20 minutes now because of these new tools. Okay. Secondly, the machine is also made differently as well. So back then, threading the machine was quite a challenge. But nowadays, all these machines have little hints on them, kind of like an IKEA manual. So if you can understand the IKEA manual, this is no problem for you. And also the techniques, I actually took a course on how garment making is done in US factories. So they do it very fast, and yet it looks very professional as well. So that's the same kind of techniques that we teach our students here. I think because of anything, it's a combination of all these things. First of all, you have better tools, you have better machines, and then also you have better techniques. Techniques that enable you to work a bit faster.
It's a given to learn how to sew using a machine, right? I mean, you can't sew everything using your bare hands, right?
Can you sew everything using your hands? You can. It will take a longer time, It may not be as neat as, you know, what you see on the racks, for example, but it is possible. It's just, it is more time consuming. And I think the reason why, you know, Eileen and I were so keen on teaching modern methods is because we know that, you know, the modern person doesn't have a lot of time. We are always pressed for time. But I think we want to be able to tell people that it doesn't mean that you can't do something great with your hands, you know. So, yeah, so that's why we decided that, you know, we got to teach them how to make something the fastest way that will produce great results as well.
You're right there, because I think there is still that perception that comes with sewing, in the sense that people still associate it with fashion designing as a career usually, right? So how do you promote this notion that people who work other jobs can still enjoy and invest time into sewing as a hobby on the side?
We do have people who come and ask us, is this a course? Is this something I have to sign up for like 6 months, 12 months? And we tell them, no, we are flexible, actually. So our timing is very flexible, especially on the weekdays. Let's say, for example, we were talking about sewing a bag. Okay, let's say a beginner's bag, let's say it takes 3 hours. We would say, you don't have to do the whole 3 hours at one go. You can actually come 1.5 this week, and the next week you come for another 1.5 hours. So it's flexible timing. From there, people do see that it is not a fashion design course. If people ask us about fashion design courses, we do tell them where they can learn it elsewhere, because we do not do fashion design.
Do you have to invest a lot in sewing? Say, for example, from a perspective of your time, do you need to practice at home? Do you need to buy the machines and all the like fabric?
I understand what you mean, because you don't want to invest in a machine without knowing that you're in it for the long run.
Yes.
Right? Mm. So machines are not cheap. You know, the mechanical ones are below 1,000 ringgit. The mid-range ones that we use at our shops are about 1,500 and below. And it is a big investment. And we always tell our students, please don't rush into buying a machine before you really know that you want to do it. Because we've had students who have kept their machines in the box for like 6 years because they're afraid to take it out and they're not sure if they can really use it. And it is a waste, you know. So what we try to do is for all our students who have come to our classes, they can come back for sew by the hour, which is only 10 ringgit an hour. They use our machines, our tools. And most of the students will do that until they decide that, okay, I'm ready to get my own machine. You don't need a machine to start off. You don't need a machine to start off to learn. But yes, practice does help you to develop your skills, to hone your skills a bit more. And if you have a goal, some people come to us with a goal. I want to eventually sew a dress for myself. Then we tell them, okay, in order to get there, this is what you must do. These are the projects that you can do. And practice will actually help you get there a bit faster.
Acquiring the skill to sew is one aspect of the activity. Manipulating the various types of fabrics available is another. At Maker's Habitat, they focus more on cotton and some specialty fabrics.
Oh, okay. So we carry mostly cotton fabrics. We have a small, like, we will call it like a small collection of fabrics that we like. We bring it in. They are very easy to use because it's 100% cotton. We do have a small collection of specialty fabrics, polyesters, rayons, but normally those are harder to sew. So normally, you know, students who are more advanced, then they'll go for that one. Where else, you know, the cottons are that they're very easy to use. With thicker fabrics, you want a stronger needle. With more delicate fabrics, you want a finer needle. A lot of times when people buy machines and try to learn it on their own, the main thing that many people do not know is that there is a difference in the needle sizes. A needle breaks, and then the first thought that comes to our mind is, oh no, my machine is broken. I've got to send it for a service. And then when you send it to the service center, they just change the needle for you. So knowing that, knowing what type of needles to use for different fabrics is very important, because there is a risk of injury, actually. If, let's say, you're using a very fine needle, you're sewing very thick fabric, you're going very fast, it can break, and it can break and fly to your face. So if you don't want your precious face to go. So it's very important to know that.
You said that sewing is so easy that even kids can do it, right? So how do you cater your classes?
So for adults, we go on a project-by-project basis. And it goes from different levels, newbie level, beginners, intermediate, advanced. I must say that it does not mean that once you start sewing, you have to go all the way to the advanced level. Some students, they just stop at beginner's level. And you'll be amazed because some have started their own business just from being a beginner's level student. And it's all about what they want to do. Because as what we talked about earlier, they don't have a lot of time. Sometimes maybe as a young mother, after they send their kids to school, I only have a few hours. I'm just going to learn this hobby and see what I can do from there. So for adults, it's on a project basis. And then for kids, we have a sewing course. And we also have a freestyle session. So a sewing course is great for parents who want to sort of track the progress of the child. And they really want to see a difference in the building of skills. We have 8 levels. Each level has about 8 to 12 classes. We would encourage once a week to come back or once in 2 weeks. Freestyle session is more for children who can come perhaps during the holiday season only. They can only come for a few days. Then they'll choose to do that. Some parents and some kids prefer that because it's a more unstructured way of learning. We don't have a typical classroom setting. So, for example, maximum we have maybe about 6 students at one go. And everyone can be working on a different project because we focus on individual learning instead of group learning. We have kids who come with learning disabilities as well. And I don't think we would want to force them to catch up with everyone else just because everyone else is faster. So we often tell them, it's okay, just go on your own pace. Don't have to compare. Don't have to look around what other people are doing, how much faster they are.
All right, it's interesting that even through sewing you can attain skills that are otherwise not present if you do any other activities, right?
Yeah.
So it's useful for kids, but I guess it would also be useful for adults who want to sort of like gain something out of sewing beyond just the skills, right? So yeah. What other things can sewing teach people in general, right?
I think I would say the main thing for adults is mindfulness as well. We've actually had students who were struggling with mental health, and they came to us and said that, they are looking to learn something that they can build their confidence back up again on. And we said, you can try sewing. I'm not saying it's the cure for everything, but it has helped them. They did say that it is a nice supplement to, their other therapies, for example. And I think when it comes to sewing your own garments, a lot of times many of us struggle with loving our bodies as it is. A lot of times we think, I'm not thin enough, my waist is not small enough, my butt is way too big, things like that. But the problem is with clothes that you find outside, because they're mass produced, they are only made to suit one type of body type. And frankly speaking, I would say, I've read it somewhere before, there's only 8% of people in the world with that body type. So that's why it's so frustrating for a lot of people when they buy clothes outside and they feel that I'm fat, things like that. That's the first thing, we blame ourselves. But the thing is, when you start sewing for your own, you learn how to take your own measurements. You learn how to be in control of everything right from the start. First of all, you pick fabrics that you actually like, colours that you actually think complement yourself. And then you learn how to make the clothes to fit your body exactly. And you start to feel good and you start to feel that, I actually like my body a lot, So I think that's one of the, for adults, I would say that would be the main thing that motivates them to continue sewing.
Right, okay. Yeah. I'm going to bring the conversation to a different tangent a bit. I would just like to get your opinion. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about common stereotypes associated with sewing.
Mm.
Many people think of it as a traditionally feminine activity, right? So is this reflected in Maker's Habitat?
It does frustrate us when people say that. We know that, yes, traditionally people think that, it's just a girl's hobby. But honestly, if we think about it, look around you, all the best tailors around, they are all men, right? And the best tailor I know made my husband's suit when we got married. He had an amazing eye just for proportions. And I don't think it's a feminine thing at all. We do have boys who come for class as well, boys and men. And honestly, I would say, sadly for the kids, most of the time these stereotypes are put upon them by the adults. We do hear some adults saying, "Oh, you want to learn sewing? No lah, you just go for basketball lah," you know, things like that. But I think it's 2018. I think it's time to stop stereotyping hobbies to a gender.
So do you offer classes or workshops that are more friendly to male participants?
We do have. For garments, not a lot. Because currently, we don't have a lot of students who come in and say they want to learn garments yet. But for the children's courses, yes, we do have. Basically, a lot of things are very unisex. Things like zip bags, things like backpacks, pouches, you know, they are all unisex. So we let the students choose whatever combination of fabrics that they want. And then they'll, through that, they also learn how to look at the relationship of colors and patterns as well. Interesting that you asked about, you know, this gender thing, right? So recently, I think we had a whole family unit coming to learn sewing together. We had the two daughters, the father and the mother. And it was okay, you know. It went very well, actually. The father wants to learn sewing because I think he has seen, you know, the things that his daughters and his wife made. And yeah, he wanted to join in the fun as well.
All right, that's great. I think we've discussed this before, but just so that our audience can get a clearer picture, what are the classes you have on offer? And if I'm not mistaken, it's based on skill level, right?
Yeah, correct. So we, for adults, you will start with basic projects first, like making simple bags. And then after that, you can decide if you want to branch out into dressmaking or bag making. So bag making includes, you know, making things like bucket bags, as structured clutches, all that. And for dressmaking, we also teach them how to work with knit fabric, which is T-shirt fabric. And because a lot of times, most people think that you can't actually sew T-shirt fabric at home with a sewing machine. You need like a special machine to do it, but actually you don't. Yeah. So that's for adults. For children, the course, as mentioned, it has 8 levels. And then children will progress based on skill level. So they also have the chance to learn either how to make garments for themselves or go into bags or go into plushies and toys.
What do you expect in the future of sewing as a hobby?
Sewing as a hobby. You mean in Malaysia?
Yes.
Okay, I think we are growing. I think that's great. And I think that with the amount of children that we see coming to our classes, I think we will be able to see a lot of amazing talent coming out, you know, maybe local designers in the future. That would be for the children. For a hobby, I think because we are seeing more and more interested people, our students will tell us, you know, oh, can I learn how to make this? Can I learn how to make that? And we try to take in all their feedback into consideration to plan for our further classes as well. And I think it's picking up. And hopefully one day we will be able to, who knows, we might see it a necessity to have a machine in the home, in every home, you know, just like the good old days.
All right. Okay. So for people out there who are interested to find out more about Makers Habitat, where can they go to?
They can go to our website. It's makershabitat.com. You can also find us on Facebook or Instagram.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we're joined by Ching. She's one of the co-founders of Makers Habitat, a creative space that hosts sewing workshops and classes. Check out their website, makershabitat.com, for more information about the initiative or the classes they offer. And that marks the end of this week's episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play or the App Store. Also, follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.